Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Molly and Hall.
We're trying to wake Chicago up.
Live at 5 on 670 The Score.
And here they come.
Let's get to the phone lines. Aaron is listening on radio.com. Good morning, Aaron.
Hi, Aaron.
Gentlemen, I'm not saying Mitch isn't a problem because he is. But last year, they went 12-4 in spite of Matt Nagy. His play calling puts Mitch in bad situations.
Here is the problem. The evidence we're missing is we're not able to see what Matt Nagy can do without Mitch Trubisky. And we can't see Mitchell Trubisky with a running game and a better offensive line. So we don't know how either guy would operate without each other.
When you look at this season in its totality at the end of it, I do wonder if the biggest problem of this offense won't be the quarterback. And I know that that sounds kind of crazy to consider, given all that we've said about how he's the great eraser, and he can be. And I still believe that. But this offensive line has been so bad and so disappointing and is such an issue.
And because you paid all the guys.
And if you had an offensive line performing to a level that was acceptable, you'd be able to run the ball. You'd be able to have a David Montgomery having 100-yard games after 100-yard games. And your quarterback might be different, might be better, and you might give him a chance.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall.
Your morning guy over there.
Mornings on The Score.
I sat there and I told him, I said, listen, man, we appreciate your toughness and want to stay in the game, but I need to be able to make a decision.
When you heard Matt Nagy talk there, he was explaining what he said to Mitch during that sort of well-documented hug and embrace.
What did you whisper into
his
ear? And, you
know,
you're ruining my career. You've destroyed my offense.
We made a terrible mistake.
Mully Hall.
I'm so fired up.
Here we go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to The Score. That was a mean moment.
That was a kind of a mean moment.
Yeah, I feel bad about that.
Morning, Mully. Happy Wednesday.
Oh, the four-game winning streak is gone.
Oh, we're going to straight to the Hawks' disappointment because it was palpable last night.
I guess
night.
We're talking about the Hawks because they lost. If they had the five-game winning streak, we'd be talking
we'd
about
them. We'd just ignore them.
No, we wouldn't. Yeah.
We wouldn't want to jinx them.
It was Kaner's birthday.
It was Kaner's birthday.
As you pointed out yesterday.
And he had a game. It's odd that he hasn't played at home on his birthday before.
Hmm.
And his play in that game kind of mirrored the Hawks. They kind of weren't that obvious in the first two periods. And then the third period, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they rallied in the third period, but Kaner... with two assists, but
they were pretty too. And then he almost tied the game. It was late. They were rallying. Out of maybe 4 minutes left, and he took the puck all the way down through about four defenders. Had a shot. How did he do it? They showed the replay again, and I'm talking about how did he do this? And he didn't.
He's
finish.
Had those moments.
Yeah, he did. Anyway,
and the Hawks are hosting the Lightning on Thursday, so they can get back on the winning track. It's more fun when they're winning. I'm gonna lay it out there and just tell you.
Hurricanes are good. That's a good team. Lightning coming in, they're a good team. But the Hawks have been playing very well. Last night before the loss, they were the hottest team in hockey. So
you're like a hurricane. There's calm in your eye, and I'm getting blown away. Okay, the Bulls host the Pistons. Derrick Rose making his second return home this season.
Are we going to announce every return home this season?
This is the big one. This is the big return home.
Yeah.
Second time.
Also, Luol Deng.
Four in a row and only one road win this season.
Luol Deng's going to be there.
Well, that's really good. Well, I wonder if he'll see his cousin who's playing for Loyola.
Oh, that's right. Maybe he's in town for that as well.
I doubt it.
I think he's getting honored. Today is his, he gets to retire as a Bull, the ceremony. I'm not sure what they're going to do.
What?
First 10,000 fans in, get a free MRI.
Boy, poor Luol Deng. The first 10,000 fans in get a misdiagnosis of a spinal tap.
See, I thought we were going to be nice.
I don't know what happened. How did we go off the rails so
quickly?
I went
with the MRI. You went with the spinal tap. Okay.
Well, that spinal tap was a rough one.
Yeah, it was.
Just, I mean, I don't know if you've ever had a spinal tap, but they're not meant to be very pleasant.
I have not.
I haven't either.
I hear they're really torturous.
Yeah. I've heard stories, and I had a loved one that was, they were debating doing it, and we made a decision like, no, do not do it, because there were other issues in play. So, great. Now I'm really upbeat.
Great.
LeBron James became the first player in NBA history to have a triple-double against every team in the league. He got one in their 112-107 victory over the Thunder. That was the last team holding out from a LeBron triple-double.
That means he's really old, and it means he's still really good.
It means he started when he was in high school.
Yeah, I know.
He basically graduated high school into the NBA.
And did LeBron James!
That's the one.
Speaking of the NBA, did you see Carmelo Anthony made his debut last night for the Blazers?
I did see that. What did you think of that?
10 points. Yeah. I think that it's going to be an experiment that kind of fizzles.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to work.
Trailblazers this year are pretty brutal, though. They're just throwing stuff at the wall.
They have
at this
to be.
Point. I mean,
yeah, they have to be.
Yeah, they are. The Bears back to work today, getting ready for the Giants. The Bears, 6-point favorite. The total is now 40.5. They were at least 6.5 or 7 when it opened. So it's down 0.5 point minimum.
Confidence dropping.
The total.
Did they have another
40.
Press conference?
5. I mean, think about that. But like that's a bad half for some teams.
Well, Daniel Jones versus Mitch Trubisky asterisk isn't exactly, it doesn't exactly say shootout.
That says squirt gun. These are two highly drafted players. One inexperienced who likes to turn the ball over. One a lot more experienced than anybody around here wants to admit.
Do you remember when we were debating the merits of Pat Shurmur?
Yes, I do remember.
And he interviewed for the Bears job. That's when they hired Matt Nagy, correct? That was after he was coming off a strong year with the Vikings. I can remember being in an elevator with him at Minnesota after the Bears played there, and he was getting ready for his interview, and he was, I think I was with Biggs, and he knew kind of how to, you know, he was a political head coach. He knew the audience, and he was looking forward to the opportunity. Kind of, you know, meeting people. And he was thought of highly at the time.
Yes, he was.
I don't think he's thought of as highly right now. There was a debate in New York a couple weeks ago who was going to go first, Adam Gase or Pat Shurmur.
Okay, well, what, you know, let's talk about that for a second. Okay, who's the best coach in the league?
Oh, that's easy.
Okay, who's his quarterback? Isn't so much of this the relationship between, doesn't the head coach become smarter and better when he has a great quarterback? And doesn't a quarterback become better when he has the head coach? So I think there's like a very real relationship between those two things.
There's no relationship in sports between a coach and a player that's any more meaningful or important than that one.
And it's not just the offensive guy. Because
no.
look at John Harbaugh with Lamar Jackson.
See, that's interesting
that
you say that. Because it isn't
Belichick's
just...
Belichick's a defensive guy, technically.
Because
he does
being
everything.
A head coach is not just being an offensive guy. It's about leadership. It's about command. It's about a lot of things that, you know, frankly, we're not seeing this year in Chicago. But the relationship between the quarterback and the coach will determine, and that's why everybody wants to get that right. And if
Sean
you go back,
Payton and Drew Brees,
absolutely, that's a working model that you want to copy. Pat Shurmur and Case Keenum, remember, and in Minnesota that year wasn't it coming off for a year? Wasn't that the combination that they were using as an example of his ability to work with quarterbacks and get the most out of them? So he became a bad coach when Eli Manning looked old. Older than they
Tom
expected.
Tom Coughlin and Eli Manning.
And Daniel Jones looked young.
That's the difficulty with this stuff. You almost have to connect it at a point where everybody's on board.
I know where you're going. So I want to ask a question then. So what do you think that says, or how does that concern you in the context of Mitch Trubisky's relationship with Matt Nagy this season, and how that will survive this season if it matters?
It's a very big issue question. It's something we got to figure out. And, you know, I don't ever believe that a GM should only have one coach, and I don't ever believe that a coach should have one quarterback. You should get a chance with somebody else. But you also need to be successful. The only way you keep, you know, NFL, not for long.
Are you talking about Ryan Pace now?
No fun league. I'm just saying the only way that you really get an opportunity to figure out if a guy can coach is if you give him what he needs to do it. But he has to adapt to it.
We'll get into this later, but I think one of the questions I wanted to address today at some point was that this whole idea that you can't let Ryan Pace pick the next quarterback. Right, you hear that, and that may be what you're implying.
That's an interesting question. But
here's what I want to ask
question.
You. Because Matt Nagy is around, do you trust or Ryan Pace more to be influenced by a guy that you think does know what a quarterback looks like?
You know, I'm not even sure about that right now with the Bears. I'm not even sure about that. What bothers me about what has gone on with the Bears this season is that there was no adjustment to help this quarterback. It was, we're going to 2.0. Mm-hmm. Are you along for the ride or not? And he wasn't.
I think that's a great point. It's something we should definitely get into.
And, you know, we mentioned Harbaugh, Lamar Jackson, how that looks like it's very promising. What did they do when they went to a guy like that? They changed their system.
That is the example I wrote about, we've talked about. That's the example most people look at. But that's not the only example. You know, and that's the thing.
No, there's a lot of examples.
Look at San Francisco. That's another example.
Well, you know, there's a big question about how good Jimmy Garoppolo is right now. And I think we look at that and say 15-3 as a starter. And they look at it and say he's got everything around him.
Absolutely, including the scheme and the system that brings out the best of him.
The quarterback and everything.
Look at Minnesota. Okay, look at Minnesota. That is a boring offense.
Yep.
And that is a great offense.
It's gotten significantly better since the Bears played them. You know, you think about that game.
Why?
Well, because they adjusted.
They adjusted.
You think about that game, and you had the Bears stuffing them. We had the Bears, the 85 defense, and they come out of that, and the receivers are barking at the quarterback, and their season, that's it. That's the tipping point. They're going one way or the other, and they knock off four straight wins or whatever it was.
You also have a quarterback in that case, in that example, mature enough to understand what he isn't and what he is. And Kirk Cousins, to his credit, became a better quarterback after falling flat in his face at Soldier Field. Because he understands the limitations of the offense and how, you know, less is more.
There's a lot that goes into this. I mean, there is a lot that goes into these issues, and we actually have a pretty good question about it at the 5 at 5. We'll talk about it next. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's 5 at 5 with Molly and Hall, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Molly Hall. 5 at 5 with Molly and Hall starts now.
Coming into the season, there were 5 young players who looked capable of taking a step forward for the Bears. Among that group, Mitchell Trubisky, Adam Shaheen, Anthony Miller, Leonard Floyd, and Roquan Smith. How many made significant progress, and why or why not?
Well, I think there's a lot of them that have made significant progress. We learned that it's all the wrong direction, mind you. But
still progress.
But it's progress. It's moving forward in some way.
And finding out what you know.
That's what I'm saying. It's not positive progress. It's negative. But I think we know more about Mitch. We know that he couldn't handle whatever they were trying to do with him this year. That didn't work. We know Adam Shaheen can't play. Right? We finally admitted that. He just flat out can't play. Anthony Miller apparently can't run a route. I don't know. And then he struggles to catch the ball. He is really a surprise. He's had a really rough year. Leonard Floyd, I think we confirmed what we knew about him. Mm-hmm. It's flashy, and every once in a while it shows, but it's not consistent.
But you hoped otherwise before the season, didn't you?
You hoped he was about to take a step forward. Yeah. No question about it. And then Roquan, to me, he's the great mystery of the group because he had the personal issues. You want to say that the game he had last week was some kind of breakthrough for him.
Right.
And then you talk about it and listen to people talk about it, and you realize, and you stop for a second, and they were running the ball. They had two new linemen and a guy playing out of position, so they were not even going to the second level. They were just trying to lock up the front four of the Bears, the three, whatever, the line.
Right.
And they were letting linebackers make plays, and they were running the ball and trying to get 4 yards on every run, and they were doing a pretty damn good job of it. They had a consistent running game. And as a result, you had 11 tackles. Now, he did get an interception. He was running around a lot more aggressively. You got to make those plays. But I think if you look at it in that context, we still need the breakout game from him, and we still need him moving forward. And I think that this is one of the big issues with the Bears. Is there player development going on here? Because it doesn't look like the guys they invested the big draft picks.
I want to get to this later in a segment because the final 6 games gives us an opportunity to talk about a lot of these things and look at a lot of these things. Okay, but you want your talent evaluators in the NFL to be ruthless when making these determinations about whether guys are going forward or backward. And by the way, the opposite of progression is regression.
Yes.
And when you talk about these 5 guys in particular, there's only one that doesn't fit the category of regression, and that is Roquan Smith. Let's go through Mitch Trubisky. Okay, arrow's not pointing up. Shaheen, mistake. Draft bust. Anthony Miller offers a lot in terms of a big game-breaking, playmaking ability. But to me, I think he's too much a part of negative plays and negative things that you see on the field. You could probably live with him, but I think that you have to coach him better than he's being coached right now. Leonard Floyd, you stated that very well. There's a lot of things we wanted to see, and we just haven't. Roquan Smith, did you know that through 25 games, he has more tackles than Brian Urlacher in his first 25 games? That's interesting. A lot of the reasons why you just described, because he's there in a scheme for him to make that play, but he's still got to make that play. And Lance Briggs became a Hall of Fame sort of, you know, semifinalist or whatever he is by being the guy in that weak side cover 2 who was designed to make every tackle, and he did. So I don't want to fault Roquan Smith for making these plays. He's got to be more consistent on and off the field. He's got to be more predictable. But of those guys that you mentioned, I think is an interesting list, he's the only one that you can count on for next year.
This is pretty depressing when we look at it this way. I mean, this collection of players here, not only have they all regressed to certain extents and taken steps backward. But these are players that you have not only used really high draft picks on, but you've traded other draft picks on to move up and take these players. In the case of Anthony Miller and Leonard Floyd, who I think are still... I think Leonard Floyd and Anthony Miller are NFL players. I think they have a spot on rosters. But from where they were taken and the expectations that were put upon them, they have not performed to that level. And it's really disappointing.
Are you saying they'll make great Eagles?
Yeah, they don't fit the scheme. You got to move them to Philly where they'll show out all year long. Leonard Floyd in particular aggravates me because I hate when Dustin's right. And Dustin was against the drafting of Leonard Floyd since day one. And it's looking like Dustin might have been spot on that one. You know, blind nut, the squirrel, and all of that. Or wait, hold on. I had that reversed. Blind squirrel finding the nut. Now I'm all mixed up. In the case of Mitchell Trubisky, number two pick overall, we've talked about him ad nauseum. He's not an NFL player. Or he's not a starting NFL quarterback. Maybe he can latch on as a backup eventually somewhere. The Blake Bortles path. Shaheen, my God, what was he, the 45th player taken overall in a draft? This could be, of all the terrible Ryan Pace draft picks, and there have been plenty, Adam Shaheen might be the worst of the bunch when you consider where he was taken. Nobody knew who the hell he was. Nobody even knew what Ashland University was. And we're just supposed to trust this guy. He has been a non-factor.
Didn't Ashland University beat Northwestern?
I believe that was Radford yesterday. This is a really, really funky group here. And none of them have made significant progress. The only one that you can really... I guess invest any faith into being a high quality player going forward is Roquan Smith, because hopefully whatever he was going through is behind him and he can return to the level we've seen him at. But when you look at all of this, it's all a huge, big, fat indictment on Ryan Pace.
Indictment is a great word, Kevin. Unfortunately, if this group of players does make progress this year, I mean, you're looking at if you get significant contributions and a step forward from your franchise quarterback, you're a playoff bound team. But now we're talking about 6 games left in the season and a group of guys that are important to your team and gave you nothing. Mitchell Trubisky, it's just regression in a significant, terrible way. Adam Shaheen solidifies his status as just a guy, gave you nothing. Anthony Miller.
Being just a guy for Shaheen would be a huge upgrade, actually.
Yeah, that's true.
You can't even call him a guy.
Yeah, yeah, true. Anthony Miller did a step back this year, a step back. Leonard Floyd, I mean, as you guys said, you get a flash, a play here or there, but also just a guy. Roquan Smith, you would love to have seen him, and this guy is probably the most talented of this group, and you would have loved to see him take a step forward, but there's clearly something that went on in his personal life that has affected his on-the-field play. And you hope he can get past it. I think there's still hope for Roquan Smith. I think there's still hope for Anthony Miller. But the rest of these guys, you got to figure something out.
I mean, I wish I could have multiple choices here. Unfortunately, there's too many guys on this list that we're talking about. But right now, and it's just barely, is Roquan Smith. I mean, and 3 weeks ago, right, we thought that, you know, he wasn't going to see the field again, and it was going to be the Nick Kwiatkowski and Danny T show the rest of the way. I mean, there was a point, right? We're talking about maybe benching the guy, or basically he's going to be a one down linebacker from a first round pick. I mean, boy, and you can, you know, it was nice of Kevin to say something nice about me for the first time ever at 5-5.
A backhanded compliment.
Uh-huh.
But it was the second time this month.
Well, I'm glad you're keeping track. But who, you know, I would like to ask the question maybe tomorrow, you know, who's worse, Adam Shaheen or Leonard Floyd?
Shaheen by 10 miles.
Shaheen. Yeah. Dustin.
Yeah, they traded down for Shaheen. They traded up for Leonard Floyd,
despite the disappointment, has contributed to a pretty good defense.
Adam Shaheen has 26 catches in the 3 years he's been here.
Just got cute. That's, way too cute, that's Ryan about, Pace.
That's about 20 more than I thought.
At 249 career yards in 3 seasons. This was the 45th player taken. You know how many players you have to choose from? This was the guy? Why? What did he see? He's tall? He's got a dumb goatee?
Baby Gronk.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a pretty general question.
Dating back 25 years, the Bears have gone from out of the playoffs to in a total of 5 times. They will have failed to return the following year 4 times, barring a miracle finish. Why does the franchise struggle so mightily with success?
Wow. That's quite a question. I don't think the answer is, fits into a 5 at 5. The answer comes in a documentary. I mean, you need a week on. This is something that you need a seminar on the Peter Principle to fully understand, because things go on at Hallis Hall that are very difficult to explain. They've been going on, and history has been repeating itself for decades. And I'm not sure why. There should be more than one Super Bowl trophy in that case out at Hallis Hall. And I think to sum it up for the purposes of this question is that I think organizationally there seems to be a naivete that they don't know what they don't know. And that continues to be the case. And you don't find them hiring people that impress you necessarily over time to say that they're going to find the answers. And they know how to do it because they've done it before. Until recently, they've been hiring a lot of guys who hadn't done the jobs that they're asked to do at Hallis Hall before. So this is an ongoing conversation. Unfortunately, it's an uncomfortable one, but it's a necessary one here in Chicago.
I totally agree with what you're saying. It's a very complex question, and it would take a while to answer it fully. But I do believe that it starts with the problems they've had at quarterback. You know, when you look at great teams and teams that have been able to repeat, what you see are quarterbacks that are able to raise their team, keep their team in competition for a long time, and carry them from one championship to another. And I think that you know, even the 85 Bears, Jim McMahon was so injury prone that it came up all the time, and he was not available to them. And so even when you had a great defense, so they've had periods where they've been good. But what I like about the question is that you're talking about from out of the playoffs, out of nowhere, boom, here comes 12-4. Oh my God, they're going to be great for years to come. And bam, here comes whatever this is. And it's happened a lot. And I think the inconsistency of the quarterback position is a huge one. When the Bears have been good in my lifetime, it's been based on defense. And as we know, it is difficult to just win with defense. It make your line of victory becomes so small. You can't afford any kind of errors. You can't afford any problems to creep in. And it just, I'm talking about it within a single game. And so now you end up kind of stacking losses. Maybe this thing with the turnovers, for instance, from last year to this year, very difficult to repeat that according to all the analytics. So I think ultimately it's probably the quarterback position. But why would that be? Well, your talent evaluators, your relationship between the coach and the quarterback, you know, the idea that it's amateur hour in a lot of these different areas, as David has pointed out. So again, it's a great 30 for 30, but the short answer for me is quarterback.
What if I told you Ted Phillips would be allowed to make football decisions for 30 years? I mean, let's look at the constants here. What are the same things that have been there and in power for 25 years? It is the owners of the team. It is Ted. These are the decision makers. The one time they went out of the organization, they brought in Ernie Accorsi. That got you John Fox for 3 seasons. So that wasn't exactly a huge dub either. I mean, this is borderline inexplicable. It's not easy to run a football team. It's not easy to own the football team. I'm sure it's easy to bring in all that cash. That's probably the fun part. But being able to bring in the right people and put a good team on the field, it's very, very difficult to do. It does start with the quarterback, but it's not just that. I mean, there have been the NFL. I don't remember who said it this week, but the NFL is basically set up now for every team approximately to go 8-8 every year. And there's going to be a little bit of variance, of course, you know, when teams perform well and teams underperform like the Bears this season. And in a league that is so built for parity, the fact that the Bears have been unable to sustain any sort of success is an indictment on the entire organization, and it starts at the very top. I'm not saying fire this guy. I'm not saying sell the team. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying if you look around at what's been the same there for 25 years, it's not that difficult to realize what maybe the problem could be.
The NFL is a quarterback-driven and quarterback-dominant league, and unfortunately for the Bears, they have not been able to acquire or they have not been able to draft a franchise, a true franchise quarterback that can dominate games for you on the offensive side of the phase of the ball. I mean, that's the bottom line, I believe. I mean, we've seen many, as you pointed out, Mully, we've seen many great defenses in Chicago. And sure, you can say all three phases of the game are important and all of that. And that's very true. But I believe that's what it is. They have not drafted and had for a long period of time a true franchise quarterback that can win you games when everything else. Because this is, you could look at the current Bears, the 2019 Bears. If Mitchell Trubisky was the guy that they thought they took at number two, and the guy that would be the franchise quarterback, franchise altering quarterback. The offensive line is bad, sure, that's going to hurt any quarterback, but he's still going to be able to make some kind of plays, still going to be able to make something happen, and that's what the Bears have always lacked.
It's a quarterback-driven league, and you guys have all hit on it, and that's been the problem for forever, even when the Bears' defense was fantastic, right? It was just that it was, even when they had the guy, you couldn't keep Jim McMahon healthy. You know, something we had talked about the other day when we had the Steelers and Browns incident, the worst thing we had ever seen on a football field, you know, going back to Jim McMahon, that might have been the worst thing we've ever seen on a football field. Okay, that hit by the Green Bay Packers in the game that was...
Charles Martin?
That was, you know, semi-legal. You know, it was, yeah. I mean, it was a 15-yard... I mean, that might have been the worst thing. Because, you know, if that hadn't have happened... Who knows what the Bears season would have ended up that year, right? I mean, that put him out.
Something else would have happened the following week if that didn't happen. Hate to say it.
That's a great question.
Rumor has it, and the lights were on at Soldier Field yesterday, presumably for a field goal kicking practice. What would you do if you were Eddie Pinheiro with a job on the line?
Boy, I tell you what, man, I would be, I had a buddy of mine call me, he's like, drive by Soldier Field, and I can see the lights on, he's got to be practicing, and, I'm kind of like, call Channel 9, let's get the chopper over there.
Did we know it wasn't a tractor pull or something?
Could have been anything.
I mean, could have been soccer practice. Could have been anything,
but let's just presume that it was field goal kicking practice, because guess what? If I was Eddie Pinheiro, I would be down at Soldier Field practicing. I'd be practicing my arse off. Don't you feel like this is a very important moment? The number one thing I'd do, I'd go to a sports psychologist. I'd have somebody sit down with me, and I'd talk it through, and I'd explain why I wanted to kick one way, and then the coach wouldn't put me on the field, so I tried to kick the other way.
I think it all started with my mother.
Yeah, I would get on a couch, and I would spill it all out. I would try anything. I would get better in a freaking hurry, okay? I would get better fast, or I would get out of town. I would worry about my investments. I would be very careful not to spend my paycheck. I would be the very idea that we heard yesterday from Coach Wannstedt, that if you were going to the playoffs and you had a chance and really felt you were a good team, maybe you'd make a change, but the fact that you're awful is the only thing that this guy's job security is.
If you still cared about the season, you'd dump your kicker.
That's it. But the idea that since you're going nowhere, you may as well try to develop a guy. I would break my rear end trying to develop in a hurry if I were Eddie Pinheiro.
Are you trolling me with this question again? I mean, come on. Another kicker question, another day talking about Eddie Pinheiro, who's lucky to have a spot on the roster still. You should go to a sports psychologist. I say you should find a bartender. I mean, that's the only way to deal with last weekend and this season. Goodness sakes. I hope that he was practicing, but I doubt that he was because of the previous question. I don't think the Bears are that with it that they could actually get their guy to Soldier Field the day after they return to practice because he needs it. And I don't think that they were there trying out kickers, which is what they should have been doing yesterday afternoon at Hallis Hall. Quietly, privately, have the limos pull up, have the kickers roll out, and then see who's got the best right foot or left foot or any foot. Get a kicker who can put the ball through the uprights. And is his job on the line? It should be. But as Winey said, the season doesn't really matter enough to care about the kicker, so let's try to develop him for the XFL.
Cody Park,
Cody Parkey's out there. He is available. Eddie Pinheiro this year, 12 for 17. It's not great. It's not as good as you'd hope for. Obviously, the way the season ended last year, the offseason, the charade of the circus that was this field goal kicking competition with the bizarre way they went about it in training camp with the, you know, the silent treatment with the crowd to build up. I don't know what the hell. Anyway, whatever they did.
Quick, throw something at him. He's going to attempt a field goal.
Whatever they did, it did not work. Because if this was the best of the bunch, if this you thought this guy was better than Elliott Fry or whomever else was involved in this kicking competition, it's just another indictment and a black eye on Ryan Pace. And if with all the black eyes he's taken with player evaluation over the few years, I mean, my God, how many eyes does this guy have left? I hope he was out there yesterday kicking. It's the only way you're going to get better is if you practice and you kick it 1,000 times. I don't know. I've never professionally kicked a football before. I don't know the exact amount of times you are allowed to do it before you start to injure yourself and you bruise up your toes a little bit there. But if he's not out there and he's not putting in even more work, I'm not doubting the work he's already put in. I'm sure he works very hard. But when you've underperformed this much and you're under scrutiny like this, you have to keep going out there and doubling up what you've already been doing. So I hope those lights on last night at Soldier Field were not a tractor pull. Turf's already bad enough out there. They don't need tractors rolling over it at all. I hope it was Eddie and his Lord and Savior out there with him to help him make a couple of kicks.
Well, I want to circle back to David to make sure I have this clear, David. You're saying drink more, make more field goals. That's it.
All right. That's right. He's drinking in a dugout, too.
Great. And call tomorrow morning at 3 a.m. to talk that's to Les right. about hey, that one, please. And
I think we may have solved the issue. We have a texter checking in. Last night was Illini Days at Soldier Field. They were doing tours for Illinois alums.
Oh, so it wasn't, Eddie.
Any other Illinois alums that can kick?
They were doing tryouts for Illinois alums.
Okay, if I was in the situation that Eddie Pinheiro is in, my NFL career is in jeopardy at this point. So what I would do is I would go and move into Soldier Field for the last 6 weeks of the season here. I mean, you have 6 games left. 5 of the 6 games are outdoors. You're going to be dealing with winter weather, cold weather. Get used to it. And you got half of the games at Soldier Field. Get used to this cold weather. Embrace it. Because we know, Eddie's from a warm weather place. So, yeah, that's what I would do. Practice my ass off at Soldier Field. Make it happen. And do better. Get better.
I like that, Ray. Go to your happy place. Go to your warm weather place in your mind when you're kicking at Soldier Field.
It's all about a state of mind. You know, the sports psychologist might not be a bad idea, Molly.
Molly, you said that he should be watching his paycheck. If it's true that that was what was going on at Soldier Field, it cost $10,000 to turn on the lights. I would actually be spending my own money and offering my own money to go down to Soldier Field and practice so that I can ensure future employment. So maybe I would be spending my dough in order to maybe make some more dough.
If they're playing at noon on Sunday, go down there every noon this week.
Every noon this week. Noon
Uber.
Noon o'clock.
It's a tough one, Bruce. It's a very fair question and obviously a ripe one.
In an MLB.com story about the best fits for free agent catcher Yasmani Grandal, the White Sox were listed second behind the Reds. The story pointed out that the Sox had the second worst catcher framing metrics in baseball last year, and James McCann alone cost the team 9 runs. How high is catcher on the priority list? Sox had a $91 million payroll last year. What do you think Jerry Reinsdorf has set as the artificial ceiling for the 2020 payroll?
These two ideas are related, and I was surprised at how little love was shown McCann, and I believe that to me underscores a little bit about what they should be thinking about Grandal. He is a get. He is somebody you're going to have to pay to get, though, because a lot of teams are going to want what he has to offer, both at the plate and behind the plate, and that's a defensive catcher that can make an impact. That's an offensive catcher that can help your lineup. As for the payroll, if you're Jerry Reinsdorf, I'm not sure what the artificial ceiling is, but I don't know that you want to go into it with limitations. I think that you want to tell your guy to be responsible, but be aggressive, Rick Hahn. Go out and pursue guys that are going to make an impact. And if you have to overspend a little bit, that's the nature of free agency and where you find yourself. Last year, the Sox were at $91 million. That was 25th in baseball. 25 teams had higher payrolls in 2019. Right now, they have $65 million allotted so far to their 2020 payroll, according to SpotRac and some of those numbers. And when you look at where they were attendance-wise, they were 24th in attendance. So they're spending in commensurate with what they're drawing. What you want Jerry Reinsdorf to do, what you're begging for Kenny Williams and Rick Hahn to do, is to ignore that and to think big and bold again and go out and don't do what MLB Network told you to do. Don't settle. Go out and think big. Get you can't be burned by the Machado example to think that you can't get Zach Wheeler or you can't get Dallas Keuchel or you can't even just have a conversation with Anthony Rendon. Go get Grandal and then be willing to spend because you've got to get better.
Yeah, I mean, build it and they will come, right? They had the movie play one night I was there, so I know they must have heard it in the offices. So I don't know that it's absurd to trade away your team and then start spending commensurate to the crowds you attract because you're not going to attract many people. This is the year. They got a couple of players coming up that will be in the lineup next year. They got a pitcher coming back who will be in the lineup next year. They've got a lot of young players that we've seen kind of growing a bit and maybe ready to kind of bust through. This has to be the year they finally hit 500, right? Doesn't this have to be the year? And you should do something. All that money that you didn't spend, all the secondaritis that you go through, and all the, we would have done this and we could have done that. And how in the name of God would he ever take a contract worth $50 million less than the one we offered? Spend some damn money, bring in some bloody players, and then we can see this team get better and people will come out and watch it. But you got to make the investment now. They've waited long enough to no more secondaritis. Go out and get the guy. When I saw the Sox listed a second, I thought, yeah, okay, sounds right.
It seems about right.
Yeah.
Well, the fact that we've already, and rightfully so, we've already kind of let the ship sail on Rendon and Cole. The upper echelon guys, we're not even talking about those guys really in the White Sox territory, which in and of itself isn't it a huge flaw and a huge indictment, which I've right. said about 50 times today when we're talking about the GMs in this town. But the fact that we're not even talking about those guys stinks. So you go down one level and you look at Grandal, who's a great player. Zach Wheeler is a pitcher who, injury concerns aside, I think has had a couple of real back-to-back seasons where he's managed to stay healthy and would be a good fit. So you go down one level, the Sox should absolutely be in on these guys. Regarding James McCann, I mean, he was a feel-good story last year, all-star, good first half, pretty brutal in the second half of the season, a 694 OPS. So you bring in Grandal, you split time between these guys. Grandal can play a little first base. I like that idea there. $91 million payroll, you're not going to double it in one offseason. I think that's maybe a bridge too far. But back to the stuff we were talking about with the Bears there. There's been one constant over the last 20 years with the White Sox where they've been to the playoffs, what, three times? It's been the owner, and it's been the people that he has hired to do their jobs, and they've underperformed as well. So I think there's probably an artificial ceiling set. It's probably, if I had to guess, around $150, $160 million, which a lot of people probably would say wouldn't be enough. But it's a start, and Mully, I agree with you. You have to start seeing the ball moving in the right direction now at this point. You can't, lose 85, 90 games again next year. You have to be approaching 500 at the very least, and you have to be very aggressive in the offseason because there's a lot of good players out there.
Well, Kevbo points out James McCann's lackluster second half of the season, and I understand that, but I still think catcher is not, the top of the priority list. I think adding to your starting rotation, I think if you can actually get a big superstar like an Anthony Rendon, that would be awesome. Although I know that's pie in the sky thinking, maybe. I wish it wasn't for the White Sox. Adding a left-handed bat to the lineup or two is a big need. So I understand catcher is important, but if you can go out and get Yasmani Grandal, that would be another awesome addition to this Sox lineup. In terms of the ceiling, I mean, the 160 mil sounds reasonable, Kevin. I just wish the ceiling was the roof in this case. Just go after and get somebody big.
Okay, Michael.
Boy, framing metrics, nothing like getting framing metrics talked about at 5:54 in the morning to get you excited. Now you guys have a jumping off point for transition today.
My last question for you is,
Who will have the better rookie campaign, the Blackhawks' Kirby Doc or the Bulls' Kobe White, and who will have the better career?
Oh, I like this. This is fun. This is fun to talk about. Well, I don't know that Mr. David has gone out and done the Kobe White story yet. So looking at today's Tribune, I see the front page of it is dominated by our guy. You know, I can't help it. I think it is Kobe White. I think Kobe White right now, I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Doc when he puts on some muscle and as he develops as a player. And I think he can be a real good player. But I think Kobe White is – he could be – as a scorer, the kid is unbelievable. And as he develops as a player, I think he can be kind of a big-name guy coming out of Chicago. So I right now I'm more enamored with Kobe because of the flash, the hair, the whole package, which really has attracted my attention. Why is Wheel of Fortune popular? Because there's bells and there's things going on and there's things spinning. And that's kind of what has me captured right now. I'm hypnotized by the guy.
I don't think there's a wrong answer. That's why it's fun. You know, one is 18 Kirby Doc and the other one's 19 and Kobe White. And Kirby Doc is, you know, obviously did talk to him in the story today. And he is 18 going on 40. And he's an impressive young man. Maturity, confidence, and all the things that you're looking for in a professional. He's already as professional as they come in that dressing room. He just looks like he's 14 and still hasn't shaved yet. In terms of on the ice and on the court, he has done things that, you know, are putting him in a rare group. And he, you know, he got another point last night and he's scoring goals. And he's not on the ice much as a fourth line center, but he's on the ice enough to make an impact. And this is a possible playoff team. Hawks are closer to the playoffs than the Bulls are right now. If I were to say, I think I would put it this way. Kirby Doc is going to have a more solid rookie season, but Kobe White could have a more spectacular one. And both are going to be worth watching.
I think it's really hard to project who will have the better career. I mean, they're literally both teenagers here.
Right.
It's nice to see them both performing well as rookies. And I think actually I'm going to go with Kirby over Kobe. 5 goals, 5 assists already for a teen. It's been very, very impressive. I wouldn't recognize if he walked in here right now with his sweater. But all due respect, he's putting up some good numbers.
He would be the guy with the head on backwards.
Is that his thing?
That's the thing when you're 18.
All these hockey players and their big personalities.
Teenage hockey players.
I like closing out the 5-5 with a little optimism here. I like it. Yeah, great futures for both of them. I will say I'm going to go with Kirby Doc because he's the 3rd overall pick. Kobe White was the 7th overall pick in his draft. So I'm going to say it better be Kirby Doc, but bright futures for both these kids.
Yeah, bright futures for both guys, but I think it's Kirby Doc right now. I still think the Blackhawks are the team that's going to the playoffs before the other team that they share a building with on the west side of Chicago. So that's why my vote as of 5:58 this morning is Kirby Doc.
Oh, 5:58. We better get going. 312-644-6767. It's Wally and Hall on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.